house sitting this morning. Need to receive our Sunday morning offer. If you'll get your note, turn to page 264. 264, we'll do the first and the last verse. And just as a reminder, the gold colored plate says advertised in free will offerings. The silver colored plate is our flower fund. Page 264, first and last verse. Brother Robert, would you ask the blessing on the offering for us?
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your house and your heaven, Lord, bless this offering to help keep your kingdom, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord. Let us open our hearts and our minds to mention the body of Jesus, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Guidance there, what play to be done, and everything, and we're regard to Christmas play. Also, the ladies' prayer group will meet Lord willing on September 19th at 6:30. And please, if you would, read the first chapter of John before the meeting. That's what the ladies are planning on discussing there. So keep that in mind. And remember our revival, of course, September 2nd through the 6th. Beginning meeting will be Preacher Adam Vines, and then Lord willing, finish up Preacher Bev Woody. So as our pastor keeps reminding us, just pray that God's will be done, that we come in and expect God to do what He wants to do,
rather
than, you know, what we consider the stereotype of revival. It really changed my thinking about revival. Really, when I read a book, probably some have read it by Brother James Stewart. He's now gone on to be with the Lord now, but he was a studier of revivals, and he quoted somebody, it might have been Jonathan Edwards, I forget who it was, that said, you know, all the shouting and running and jumping the pews and stuff, he said, that's okay. But he said, really, a lot of times the Lord is truly doing the work of the signs. You know, we fail to see that the work that the Lord does when the burden is so heavy that all we can really do is be silent. And we fail a lot of times to see the value in that. We have these preconceptions like you've talked about, you know, we'll get proud of it and say, well, bless God, my mom and daddy had revival, the hairpins was flying and the dust was coming up out of the cracks in the floors. And I mean, again, that's good. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there are times that God moves in that way. But if we feel like it's been a failure when we don't see that, we're putting God in a box. And we're discounting the work that God decides to do otherwise. Right, we see times in the scripture when God called his people to that, when they were shouting, when there was dancing, when there was music before the Lord praising his name, and there was times when the people were silent before God.
Amen.
And we got to be able to value both of those if we're going to really let God move in our lives and say, God, you do with this what you want to do. Right, so that's what we need to come expect, and that's what our pastor has asked us to pray for, and we need to pray for the leaders to come. Then also our foundation service tonight. Remember, Brother Matthew is he leads that. And remember there'll be choir practice at 4:30. So if you sing the choir, come practice. And are we doing the same? Are we going to do the same
work? Yeah,
working on different ones. Okay.
Yeah,
so
look out there, that you have the choir practice.
Sure. Okay. Okay. So remember that. And that really does make it easier to do new songs. It's hard to just pick out a new song and get up here on Sunday morning and just do it. I mean, we've done that in the past, but it's a little bit harder that way. It's nice to, you know, kind of have an idea about it beforehand. So everybody be sure to remember that and be finishing up thinking about the question that Brother Matthew presented to us. In case anybody hasn't heard it, maybe you weren't here. What he asked us to talk about is, how do we know that abortion is wrong according to the Bible? And I do thank God that He has given us advances in science that we're able to see more of what goes on in the mother's womb than we ever have in the history of man. And all any of that has done is confirm exactly what the Word of God has been telling us all along. And so all that stuff is good, and it's right to use those things. But Brother Matthew has asked us to go by, what does the Bible say? Because we've always been able to go by that. 1,000 years ago, we were able to go by that. We didn't need ultrasounds and all this stuff to just follow what the Bible has told us. So keep that in mind. Be praying for that.
That practice is at 4:30.
Yeah. Practice is at 4:30, and then the foundations is at 5. So do remember that. Is there any other announcements? Oh man, usually I miss some. I don't exactly feel like I've been on my A game recently. So. Yeah, that'd be Monday, yeah.
7 o'clock.
Yep, 7 o'clock. Okay, so who's got a request of prayer for praise? Request of prayer. Okay. And remember these. Appreciate having Brother Ben and his friend Brother Jerry with us this morning. Remember Miss Mary, she's on her way back to Michigan. That's right now, isn't it? So pray that God would give her traveling grace, that he bless the vehicle, that he would open that path for her. You know how just sometimes you're traveling and stuff gets congested and get backed up, and then, you know, people driving like they got no sense, and maybe they don't have any sense. I mean, I don't know. just pray that the Lord would help her. Now, when are you heading back, brother?
Wednesday.
Okay. So just be much in prayer for him also as he heads back. Now, Brother Jerry, where are you from? Are you from Michigan? Are you from around here?
No, too far.
Okay. So are y'all traveling back together?
No. Well, the subject vehicle is probably traveling caravan.
Okay.
He came down to help us to our house.
Oh, amen. Amen. Okay, so definitely remember this. Remember, Zvigan, your surgery is, did you say Wednesday? Okay, so remember that. Continue to remember Brother Randy, that so far it sounds like the surgery has gone well, and just pray that relief that he seems to be getting will be a permanent thing, and that'll help him. Remember Lucy, her office.
She went Thursday.
Oh, I thought it was this week too. Okay.
She went Thursday. They went Thursday for, I guess, their consultation. They said that I forget to meet some of the first next year for the new surgery.
Oh, wow.
So, when they put it out of my blood, they said that this should be the last surgery after.
Oh, really? Oh, that's okay.
So, they said that this should be the only new surgery. And so, I'm thankful for that. And we pray that, you know, it worked out.
Yeah, amen. Because I think they had the previous understanding that it was going to be several surgeries.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, amen. Appreciate God moving on that.
It was just miraculous how well she healed. But that's just thanks to Christ, and that's, you know, and it's just obvious that God has really touched and blessed and healed her.
Yeah, I know.
The first surgery.
So. I feel like the first time I saw her after the surgery, it was like a week later, and it's like, oh, she's healed. Amen. Appreciate God answering prayers. And he actually answered a prayer for us this week. Actually, he's answered a bunch of prayers for us recently. But the one that's on my mind, and I was talking to you about this the other day, you know, we've been dealing with Christina's dad's estate since 2019 when he passed away. If anybody wants lessons in how not to structure an estate, come to us. We've got some suggestions. Because this was structured in every way possible to make sure that it was almost never going to be completed, that nothing could possibly get done. So, yeah, that was bad. But the Lord answered that prayer. That estate has been officially closed. She's still got to go down to First Citizens and close the bank account that was open for the estate. The paperwork is finalized for the estate to be closed. We're praising God for that. Because, again, that has been a five-year struggle. And, you know, being legally responsible, it's like you can't just, well, fine, it's not getting done. We just don't deal with it. I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, the government starts asking questions when things don't get done because that looks suspicious. So, really, I just thank God for helping us with that. That's been a burden for 5 years. So, and I know there's a lot that everybody's prayed for, and probably a lot of people have forgotten. I can't blame you because I forget stuff too. But anybody that has prayed a single prayer for that in these 5 years, we appreciate it. We appreciate the Lord working and moving in that. Appreciate the Lord helping Ed. You know, he had this procedure this past week and is mostly healing well from that. The jaundice is mostly gone. He's still just got a tiny bit of yellow in his eyes, so really thank the Lord for helping him that. He's just been helping us recently. Continue to pray for Mama, if you would. And the Lord would continue to strengthen her. Who else has got a request this morning? I want to mention. I know several has had family members that have passed away. Was it your cousin, Brother Matthew, that passed? Oh, no, you said Preacher Terrell was supposed to preach a sermon. I know he had COVID. Do you know, did he get cleared up, or?
Not for me.
I don't know if that was you. That was you that Preacher Terrell.
I don't know. I previously said he was supposed to. I seen him in a poster that he's been sick. And so, not sure.
Okay.
Either way, pray for whoever gives the message.
Right. And you, it was your brother-in-law's dad, right?
Yeah, my older sister. But...
Okay. Jessica?
No, yeah, she's...
She
and Gary.
Okay. So regardless, pray for that situation. Pray that God will give a message that's meaningful there. And do pray for Preacher Terrell. You know, he's not as young as he once was, I guess, but appreciate the Lord that been leading him with us all this time. He's been a great blessing, but just pray for them that he would get healed up. I know I did see his wife on the way to church by herself this morning, so I guess he went to church this morning, so I'm not sure exactly there. But pray for that church, whoever's preaching there this morning. Oh, and now, Preacher, are y'all still going on your trip today? You plan to? Okay, so pray for little Camber. She's been feeling sick for a few days. She's having stomach problems this morning. Miss Stephanie's with her. Pray for them, if you would. Pray for them to stay there, take a little trip. We're willing to leave this evening. And pastor's asked me to preach on Wednesday, so pray that God would give us what's needful on Wednesday. Pray for our pastor this morning. God would lead him and use him this morning. And really just send the messages that's needful that we will get prepared for revival. I appreciate so much the messages that he's been preaching And, I mean, I know it comes from the Lord, but I appreciate our pastor being obedient. His message is on building the wall. There's never a time when that is not a message that is needful. Because as much as we, even when we do, a lot of times we don't, even when we do try to focus on the spiritual walls that need to be built up in our life, guess what? There are constantly forces at work that are trying to tear down those walls. Right? So just, I really appreciate that. It's been a real blessing to me. And looking forward to hearing. I mean, I'm going to assume that's what it is this morning, unless the Lord has led differently. But I know God will.
We'll
amen, amen. So be much in prayer for that. And continue to pray for Miss Terry's eye. Another answered prayer there. There was one eye doctor that was evidently a little bit overzealous that had made her think she was going to need another procedure. And she was reassured by a more seasoned doctor on Saturday that she's perfectly fine. At least as far as that part goes. That's fine as any of us, right? But she said it's getting a little better, so continue to pray for that if you would. And also Gary and Barbara, what day did you say you're going back to Winston?
Friday, and it's 40% walk. turn back to him and said, not sure what they're gonna do yet.
Okay.
But his doctor did send him to the hospital and have blood work to make sure he wasn't sensitive or anything. But everything turned out good. You know, there's a few things inside that are understandable with his condition.
Amen.
Do you pray for him?
Amen. Remember this.
Remember Jenny? Several of us have various degrees of summer for yesterday, but she's really in a lot of pain. She texted this morning and she's wearing the uniforms and they're scratching and stiff, and so just remember her today.
I can understand that. She's as pale as I am.
I didn't get burned.
Tony was the oldest Marvin.
You know, I got a little bit of burn. He was covered up. She was indicating to figure out when he got burned. Yeah, girls were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pray for Jenny. Especially if she has to go out on calls and be picking people up and all that stuff. It's going to be real.
Well, Mike, you have a God answer prayer for me starting my new job on the 3rd.
Amen. Amen. You know, I started to ask about that, and I didn't. And I was like, I guess we have something to report. So, yeah, that's good. Amen. Amen. Appreciate that. I know we need to pray for some others that are requesting a prayer for jobs, too. I feel like there's been one or two others, but just pray about these.
Hey, Matthew.
Yes.
I've got a good friend of mine. His wife's been fighting cancer off and on for about 5 years in different parts of her body. Mm-hmm. Last scan she had a large tumor attached to her kidney. So she's having surgery on the 4th of September.
Okay.
It's a very risky, there's a special team to do it. That's why they're going there to have it done.
Uh-huh.
But it does do it.
And where did you say she's going?
New York.
Oh, okay. Just pray for traveling grace also. There's a whole lot that goes with going to New York, so just pray that God will take care of it.
Thank God for saving me and answer prayer.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for special grace and pastors.
Amen.
I'd asked for a request for a buddy of mom's mom that had cancer, and cancer has pretty much went away, except now the cancer is still being in her organ, is in her bone. Continue to pray for
her. Thank you. Are you doing better, Miss Jerry? Good. Amen. Continue to remember Jerry and Brother Charles.
Comes from you. Lord, I pray God that you help us in
Not many people were buying their lives, well, not really doing daily, no matter our location, or not believe it's come against us, that this may is hurting us. I pray, Lord, you be with us in the service. Lord, we have no hope of God, he said, you know, there's nothing God that may ever do, God, that you're just one of them. You can't be, just did that, you did that, they were good people, that's it, we're worshiping, we're on this service, and our hearts and lives, you do us this revival, and I pray, God, that you move them, that you grow your soul, and grow our hearts, and our humanity, and our humanity, and our humanity, and our humanity, and our humanity. Thank you, everyone that's come out, and I appreciate you, and everyone with, every state, every wish, and every heart, to work out this thing, and may you make it happen.
Good to be in the Lord's house this morning.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
I look forward to coming in on Sunday mornings, being able to worship with everybody.
Yes, amen.
I hate Stephanie's not here. I can do without any of my youngins. Take them home with you if you want to, keep them for a while. I love them to death, but I can do without them. But I miss my wife when she's not here. Amen.
Amen.
I do. That's my other half.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Some would say my better half. Most would say that. You'd be right. But I just want to say I appreciate her. I always say that, Lord, she's here, I reckon. But she don't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they ain't here, you know, I think, man, I feel so alone.
Yeah.
You know, I got the Lord with me. Amen. And that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know if all rest of UVA dudes is going to leave mad, I know at least there's one going home with me. But she knows she's just got to take it. So, in any case, I don't know why I felt the need to say all that. I said it because we've been coming on the same course.
Unworthy of mercy, yet I'm free and said, woman, don't you worry, for God sent me today. And before you even ask him, it was on the way. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. A brighter day's coming for those who believe and pray. Help won't help tomorrow if you give up today. Just hold on a little longer, help is on the way. Troubles of this life come by and burdens get you down. You think no one is listening, you think no one's around. Just remember what his word says, trust him and obey. Keep your eyes toward
be in the book of Nehemiah. You can turn there, but stand just yet. I'll say a few things before we read in the Word here. We went through some in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 already. Been doing this little mini series here on rebuilding the walls. And we talked about in chapter 1 how that Nehemiah recognized the need to rebuild the walls and the gates. Now that we have a need in our lives, we ought to recognize to rebuild those walls and gates. Walls being things that keep things out and need to stay out.
Right.
And the gates to let things in that need to come in.
Yeah.
We're talking about spiritually speaking, how there's things that need to stay out. The walls have been broken down over time. And there's things that's coming in that ought not be in the life of a Christian. There's gates that are burned with fire. We're not letting things in that ought to be there. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock.
Yeah.
Any man will open. That means I come in and sup with you, so I might have a fellowship with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means I'll never turn you back to you.
Yeah.
But you can certainly shut the door on him.
Yeah.
You can lose fellowship with him. But we need to have those gates in order. Where that we're taking in things that need to be there. So we can see and understand that in our day and hour and in our personal life that there are some walls that need repaired. Then Wednesday night we talked about in chapter 2 how that Nehemiah goes out and he examines the wall. And he examines different parts of the wall that need more attention than others. Now that we all are going to have different parts of the wall that are going to need more attention, and mine might be different than yours, and yours different than mine, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, we need to examine the wall. He realized, the people realized that the task they were undertaking was not something that was going to happen overnight. They realized it was going to take dedication. It's going to take preparation. It was going to take commitment and discipline. And so they went to work. And, last thing we read there in chapter 2 was there in chapter 2 in Nehemiah. And we finished in verse 18, and the last part of it says that they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. It is a good work. Rebuild these walls, to maintain them, to structure them. And it's going to require us to strengthen our hands. We know that our strength comes from the Lord. Without Him, we can do nothing. Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. At the same time, there's also a certain level of human accountability. Whereas we have to be obedient, we have to be willing, we have to be patient and trusting of Him. Be disciplined enough to invite Him into this situation, allow Him to build it. We've got a good foundation, amen? Right? To build on. Amen? And there's some walls that need to be put up, amen? The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? The wall is there to protect the temple for the rest of the city. We need walls. Not allow things to come into this temple where the Holy Ghost resides that do not belong there. So we're going to get here to verse 4 and some of verse 5 if we have time. It's already 11:55. Like I said, you know, we normally don't keep time around here. I just do it just for my own research purposes. But in any case, I'm just letting you know right now. So when you get out of here, you realize that, you know, it's 12:30 or whatever, that you say that thing of preaching must preach the hour. I didn't. but nevertheless, even if we get out 12:30, 12:35, you'll stay here and talk to one, most of you will. Because you know, because I've told you, the buffet line dies down by the time you get to where it is. You stick around. See there, so it ain't benefiting you none to leave early. In any case, we're going to read these last two verses, first of all, in Nehemiah chapter 2. I was going to skim some over through chapter 3, but I think we'll skip that, and I'll just give you a summary. But in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, so we've just realized that they've examined the wall, they've decided that they need to build, that they've strengthened their hands for the work, they've committed themselves that once they start this, they're not going to stop, they're going to see it done.
Hey.
They've committed to do this. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 19 of Nehemiah, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king?' Then answered I them and said unto them, 'The God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore we His servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion nor right no memorial in Jerusalem.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you'd open our hearts and our minds and our ears, God, that we'd hear and receive your word. God, I pray that you'd move upon us with your hand this morning as only you can. God, we can do nothing without you. Lord, it is useless for me to speak here this morning, God, except you move. I pray that you'd speak through me as a vessel. God, that it be your voice and your words that we hear this morning. May you brought Holy Ghost conviction in our hearts and draw us closer to you. That you'd be glorified above anything else. I pray this morning that the name of Jesus is exalted and magnified. It's in His name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, what I want to preach on this morning is this thought. is whenever you set your mind to build, you will face opposition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whenever you are building, you will face opposition.
Hey.
All the way to the moment you're nearing completion, you will face opposition. That's what we will read about this morning. And so, the opposition never stops. See, this is based, Satan has no problem with you being a Christian, being a Baptist. He can't, once you're a Christian, he can't do away with that. Ain't you glad of that this morning?
Yes, amen.
There's no power on heaven or earth, or under heaven or earth, that can change what God has done. Amen. I'm glad that's something God's done when he saved me.
Yeah.
I can't do nothing else about it. Satan can't do nothing else about it. I'm thankful for that this morning.
Hey.
If I could have messed up, I would have.
Yeah.
It's something that God's done, and he keeps it. Amen.
Hey.
I'm thankful for that this morning. But nevertheless, and so Satan knows that he cannot take our salvation. And so he has no problem with the fact that I'm a Christian. He has no problem with the fact that you're a Christian. Matter of fact, he has no problem with the fact that you're a Baptist. He has no problem with the fact that you have a King James Bible. Well, the problem is when those things begin to affect the way you act and behave.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When those things begin to affect you in a way that you're no longer conforming to the image of the world, but all of a sudden you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
That's when Satan begins to have a problem. That's when Sandbell and Tobiah come along and they say, they want to laugh to scorn. They say, what do you think you're going to do? They've got all kinds of reasons. And what it is that's because they're following the devil, right?
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that when we were lost, that's who our spiritual father was.
Yeah.
He said, John chapter 8, you're following the devil, right? And so that's what they're following. And he has no problem with anybody being a Christian so long as they're conforming to the rest of society.
Yeah.
And see, this is the thing. You'll find that other proclaiming Christians even will have a problem whenever you start wanting to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Whenever those walls start to come up, whenever there's barriers that are being raised, whenever you have the inclination in your mind to say, you know what, I think this is wrong. Yeah. I don't think a Christian ought to be doing this or saying this or acting like this or watching this or hearing this. I think that a Christian ought to have a barrier up where those things don't need to be in my life.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they'll say, well, you legalist. They'll say, you holy roller. They'll say, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. Hey, that ain't nowhere in the Bible. No. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches you can be too earthly minded that you know heavenly good.
Yeah.
Amen. But nevertheless, Sanballat comes along and he says, just who do you think you are? He said, well, you rebel against the king. Well, I will say this. He's referring to Artaxerxes,
yeah.
But I will say this, that truly he is referring to the god of this world, little g, the prince of the power of the air, that one that's referred to in Ephesians 6, where it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this present world. He is referring to Satan. He is referring to Lucifer. He is referring to the king that has dominion over this world down here right now. But I want to say this, he does not have a permanent throne, amen.
That's right.
But that's who he's referring to. Whenever he says, when you rebel against the king, that is the thought that people have. It says, they'll laugh to scorn. They'll mock.
Yeah.
I want to tell you kids something. You stand for God, you will be mocked.
Yes.
You want to be brave, you want to be different, you want to be bold, stand for God.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I want to tell you this, it don't take nothing for a young man or a young woman to dress like the world or look like the world. That's not being daring. When people go and get tattoos all over their body and piercings all over their body, that's not being daring. That's just conforming.
Yeah.
That's not being bold in any way. Hey, I'll tell you, it takes boldness. It takes courage to stand for Jesus Christ. You're going to try sometime. I'm not just talking about simply just saying I'm a Christian or I go to church. I'm talking about really standing. I'm talking about coming by and saying, I don't want to hear that kind of music. I don't want to watch that on TV.
You're going to receive, somebody's going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to scorn you. And they're going to say this to you, you think you are. They'll say, you think you're better than everybody, don't you? They'll try to run you down every which way they can. You know why? Because the life that you're living is bringing conviction to their heart, yeah, and they don't like it.
And so they received this opposition. Then he says in verse 20, when he responds to this, Nehemiah says, it says, I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that I can be patient. The Bible says, them that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes. Amen. I'm glad I've got a God that rewards those that are obedient to him. Hey, I want to tell you this. Give it time, child of God. Some of you mamas is raising youngins, and you're going through tough times with these little youngins, and it's a tough world out there, and you're doing the best you can to teach them and to train them to love the Lord. And you say, well, I don't know if it's good or good. Give it time, mama. I promise you, one day, God's going to let it be known and let it be seen that you're as faithful, amen. And I want to say this. You've got people in your life that you're witnessing to, and you want to see them come in the house of God. Give it time, amen. Pray for them and just live your life before them. They might hate you. They might get mad at you, but praise God. I want to say this. If you keep them praying, you might just see them one day turn around, amen. You know why? Because God is a rewarder of those that are faithful, amen. He might not do something right away, but he does something in his time. And guess what? His time is perfect.
Amen.
That's why Nehemiah said with boldness, he said with assurance, he said the God of heaven will prosper us. He said, I ain't saying today, I ain't saying right now. He said, but I know that the days are coming that God's going to bless the endeavors that we're doing.
Yeah.
You'll never go wrong doing it for God.
Amen.
He said, therefore, we his servants will arise and build. He said, I know God's going to bless it, so we're going to build. He said, you keep a laughing about it. You keep a mocking us. He said, you keep a questioning our motives. That don't matter. He said, I know God's going to bless it. You'll get to see it one day, so I'm just going to keep a building.
Amen.
He said, let us arise and build. He said, but you have no portion, no right, no glory over Jerusalem. Let me ask you this. I say this all the time. It's all right for a Christian not to feel comfortable in this world.
Yeah.
Because this ain't home.
Amen.
When God saved me, I became a citizen of heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm a pilgrim down here.
Amen.
I'm going to a land where he's got for me. That's my home. I ain't never laid my eyes on it. I can't even begin to imagine what it looks like, but I know I'm going to feel at home when I get there.
Amen.
Amen. When I get to be there in his presence. So I want to ask you this. What business does Russia have telling us how to run America?
Right.
What business does China have telling us how to run America?
Amen.
What business does Hezbollah tell us who we'll give aid to?
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen, is that all right? And what business does a citizen of hell have telling a citizen of heaven how they ought to live their life and live as their citizens?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
They ain't got no business. That's what he's talking about here in verse number 20. He said, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Hey, I want to say this, if you wanna have a say so of what goes on in America, do it the right way and come and join as an American citizen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care what color you are. None of that matters. All I want you to do is do it the right way. Amen.
Yeah.
Follow
yeah.
the process. It's yeah. been put there for a reason. Yeah. We'll welcome you. We're glad to have you. Amen. Pay your taxes. Do it the right way. Be a part of this country. That's called assimilation, right?
Yeah.
In the same way, if you want to have a say-so, amen, like, praise God, there's an open invitation. It's a whole lot easier to get into than America. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
But,
amen.
Matter of fact, the price has been paid.
Yes. Amen.
The paperwork's been filled out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Right. All you got to do is just accept it.
Yeah, sir.
And the one with the authority to do it has it all right here waiting to hand it out. You just have to accept it.
Yeah, sir.
Amen. What a blessing it is to be able to know the Lord and know that he's with you. have saved them that are lost. Amen. I believe God could have saved Sam Ballard, Tobiah, and his men. Notice this also. He said this. It said that Sam Ballard was a Horonite, Tobiah was an Ammonite, and there was Geshem who was a Arabian. Now, there's all three different people from different places, had different interests in life, but they was able to come together on this one idea. We hate these people who love God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Ain't that funny how that works out?
Yeah.
You know how I know that Islam's wrong and Christianity's right? You know how I know that Buddhism's wrong? And you know how I know that Hinduism's wrong? And all that? You know why? You know why it is? Because they don't receive the opposition.
Yeah.
Like we do.
Amen.
Even the Bible says it doesn't receive the opposition.
Right.
You know why? Because it's conformed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Now in chapter 3, he goes on. I wanted to get a little bit into this, but we're not going to. He goes on and tells about the different groups of people and their families that built different parts of the walls and different parts of the gateways. And he goes on all through chapter 3, retelling about that. And it's interesting, I found some significance with some of these gates, but we're not going to get into all that because I've got to get this finished today and I've got one more message to preach. We've got to get there. And so, chapter 4, they started building chapter 3. Remember now in chapter 2, they were planning. They were examining. They were committing themselves. They were preparing themselves. They were making themselves ready. They received opposition for just preparing. And examining and deciding what they're going to do. Chapter 3, they begin construction. Chapter 4 says, but it came to pass, when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took in great indignation and mocked the Jews, and spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria, and said, what do these people Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which were burned? And Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if the fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. He said, what do they think they're going to do? They fortify themselves. He said, are they trying to really start living for God? Are they going to really do that? Are they going to revive some stones? Are they going to bring some things back to life? Are they really going to do that? He said, I don't see that happening. Hey, listen, we live in a day and time right now when Satan thinks that, in our country at least, he thinks he's got it in just a stranglehold. He's got it in a chokehold, and it's about ready to attack.
Yeah.
But I want to say this. That's what Goliath fought his day.
Yeah.
God had a different plan. Amen. I want to say this. That's what Pharaoh fought his day. God had a different plan, amen. The prevailing sin of our nation today is pride.
Yes.
God loves to tear down the proud.
Yes.
Amen. Now I want to say this, that God is able. And He is big enough, amen.
Right.
Now I want to say that I'm praying for revival. I'm praying to start right here. Y'all know that. I've told you that. I beg God for that. You say, well, that might be selfish. I don't care what you think of me. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I want. That's what God's put in my heart to pray for. And that's what I'm going to keep praying for. And I ain't going to stop. And I ain't going to give up on it. I'm just going to keep praying for it. Hey, but I want to say this. You'll receive, you'll hear people say things like this. They'll say, just one little hard time will come. And, you know, you'll face it. Once you face any opposition or this, that, and other, they won't discourage you. People's all the time discouraged, so they won't discourage you. People's all the time feeling defeated, so they want you to feel defeated. People's all the time just wallowing in their own self-pity. They want you to be the same. In the same sense there, when Tobiah said, hey, that wall is so pitiful, if a fox went up on it, it'd fall down. The weight of a fox knocked it down. That's what he said. That's what Tobiah told. In the same sense, people say, you know what, I'm going to start going with God. I'm going to change some things that I'm doing in my life. I'm going to start doing some things different. They'll say, we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
Yeah.
You know what? They want to see you fail. You know why? Because they're failing.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you this. You know what you need to decide right now today? Is I'm going to build this wall. I'm going to keep it building. I don't care what nobody else thinks. I don't care what nobody else does. I don't care if it's my family. I don't care if it's my church. I don't care if it's people I work with, my friends, whoever it is. I'm going to keep building for the glory of God.
Amen.
They received opposition. Notice this. It says in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, "Hear, our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey in the land of captivity." So how he responds after he begins to build the wall, he receives more opposition. See, he's decided to build the wall and he received opposition. He said, "You ain't got no business telling me, a child of God, how I need to live for God. You don't even know God."
Yeah, amen.
Then after he begins to build and they see that the construction started, they begin to get a little antsy.
Yeah.
And then they really amp it up, because that's the way Satan does.
Yeah.
And when you start building, he'll really amp it up.
Yeah.
And that's whenever they begin to do what? They begin to pray.
Yeah.
And notice how they pray. He said, "God," he said, "I want you to turn their reproach upon their own head."
Yeah.
He said, "They want to shame me." He said, "Turn their shame upon their own head." Amen. That's what I'm praying for, all the crooked, the crooked, wicked people that we've got, the politics in this country. I say, Lord, they want to shame everybody that's right, everybody that tries to do good. If you stand against abortion, they want to shame you. If you stand against sodomy and sexual immorality, they want to shame you. If you stand against anything that's wrong, if you stand for anything that's right, they want to call you a radical. They want to shame you. But I want to say this, I pray that God will turn their shame on their own head. That's not being wrong. Amen. The Bible prays like that.
Amen.
Nehemiah prayed like that. A man of God prayed like that. And I'm going to say, if the people of God are even praying like that, not only that, but he goes on, he says again. He says, in verse number 4, he says, "Turn their reproach upon their own head." He said, "And give them for prey in the land of captivity."
Yeah.
Brings me back to when we was at Camp Beaton. Mike Bagwell was preaching in Psalm 58, talking about how the psalmist prayed there. He said, "Break out their teeth, O Lord."
Yeah.
He said, "As the untimely birth of a woman, never let them see the light of day."
Yeah.
Prayed some harsh things against them. Here Nehemiah, he prays and he says, "Let them become as a prey in the land of captivity." He said, "Sell them off into slavery. Let them be as a prey." Hey, do you realize what he's saying there? He said, "Let them be as a rat that is defenseless, as a rabbit is."
Yeah.
When the bobcat comes to hunt.
Yeah.
A bobcat, of all the animals we have here in North America, is the most cunning. It's the most quiet. It's the most specialized for what it does. Coyotes hunt in packs. Foxes have long snouts to smell long distances and dig up mice and rats, and they can find nests and all kinds of things. But the bobcat, he hunts by sight. He doesn't have good hearing. He doesn't have a good sense, great sense of smell. He uses his eyes. And he doesn't have wings. Now, mind you, a hawk or eagle does the same thing to hunt by sight. They've got wings. That's clearly an advantage, right?
Yeah.
And they can get way up high and look down and see everything. They've got really, really super good sight. The bobcat, he just sees what's in front of him. So he uses his stealthiness. Whenever he decides that he wants to pounce, that rabbit don't know what's coming. They don't know when it's coming. It has no defense. What Nehemiah is praying here is, he said, "Let them be like little rabbits in the midst of some great heads."
Yeah.
Let them be consumed. Let them be torn to shreds. Let them be eaten alive. He said, "Let them be ripped open. Let them be exposed for how weak that they are."
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. See, the rabbit or a squirrel or whatever else might seem mighty to an ant. Right? It might seem mighty to something small, but when compared to the bobcat, it's revealed how truly weak that it is, right?
Yeah.
What we're seeing, us being the little ants that we are, and the stuff we face in this country, I'm not just talking about people, but I'm talking about people and ideologies in general.
Yeah.
It seems like that they're great and mighty, but I want to say this, that God can make them be as rabbits, as a prey before the hunter, as a prey before a lion, before a tiger or a bear or whatever have you. He can reveal just how truly weak that they are. And that's what Nehemiah is praying. He said, "Let them become as prey in the land of captivity." He said, "Just show them, Lord, that you have dominion, that you have power." And that's what I've been praying.
Amen.
Amen. we receive opposition, and he goes to praying. He also says this. He says this in verse number 5. He says, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher. We can't pray something like that. He says, let me read that to you again.
Yeah.
He's praying. He says, cover not their iniquity. He says, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. But notice this. He's not just talking about a drunk on the street. He's not talking about somebody's just a lost sinner.
Yeah.
He says he gives a reason for this. This is what he says in verse number 5. He says, for they have provoked thee to anger. He said, God, I'm talking about your enemies.
Yeah.
He said, God, I know you're going to deal with them. And I'm praying that you just go ahead and take care of it right now.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to say this, that God has enemies. I can't tell you all the enemies of God. I can't tell you everyone who's a reprobate, but I can tell you this. I pray this all the time. God, I pray, Lord, if it be your will to save them that are lost.
Yeah.
God, I pray, Lord, if they're a reprobate, if they are doing nothing but hindering the progression of the gospel and hurting your people, I pray, God, you'd remove them out of the way. He said, forget not their iniquity. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Amen.
I want to say this. There's a lot of folks out there right now. They don't want to see you growing closer to God. They, as a matter of fact, they hate to see it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there right now that would strongly discourage you from doing anything more than you're doing now. Matter of fact, the second that you begin to really get serious about living that book, they're going to do all they can to attack you and discourage you. Why? Because they're following their father, the devil. And I want to say this, that them same people, as they do that and they continue to discourage you and they continue to push you and they hate to see you grow in the Lord and want to actually truly live for Him and follow the teachings of His Word, it's okay to pray about it.
Yeah, amen.
Say, Lord, you take care of it.
Amen.
He knows who His enemies are. They're trying to interrupt the building. They're trying to stop the progression. Amen. I remember years ago, I was telling somebody else, I'm praying. I said, God put it in my heart. This has been close to 10 years ago. I said, God put it in my heart to pray that they put the Ten Commandments back in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody told me, said, that will never happen.
Yeah.
Said, this country, this is going to wax worse and worse. That's what the Bible says. So, you're just wasting your time. And it did, it discouraged me. But I still prayed about it. Here just a while back, Louisiana?
Yeah.
Louisiana. And one of the first states to say we'll put the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
I've never blasphemed.
Yeah.
That's just one state.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's plenty of people praying about that, but I don't think what God does for me. He said, look here, I answered prayer.
Yeah.
You didn't pray much about it, so I didn't do much about it. Next time, pray more about it.
Amen.
That's the way I do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to be famous.
Right.
I want to be faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
He says this. He says in verse number 6, so built me the wall, and all the walls joined together to the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. It says in verse number 7, when it came to pass, that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians, now listen to this, it says, and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And it says, and they conspired all of them together to come and fight against against Jerusalem to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them.
Yeah.
And so, he says here that we realize that we face an opposition, so as we build, we set a watch. He said not only do we pray that God would bring their counsel to naught, and we're not going to get to that verse, but it's in there. He says also that we set a watch. He said we pray, God will watch after us. He said we set a watch. Now, I want us to notice this, and I'm about done, that whatever he says here, verse number 9, nevertheless we made our prayer to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They pray, they trust God, but they still set a watch. They still said we need to be vigilant.
Yes, amen.
On our person. Now they prayed and they trusted God. And he said, God, I want you to give them as a prey in the land of captivity. He said, God, I want you to not blot out their sins and iniquities from you. He said, but now, God, I want you to watch over us, but nevertheless, he said, we're going to set a watch. Now, if you look, it says in verse 14, he says, and I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers, verse 14 of chapter 4, it says, be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And he said, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
Yes.
He said, I want you to go forth, I want you to fight the good fight. He said, I'm not just saying, trust God and do nothing.
Right.
He said, I'm not just saying, pray about it and sit still. He said, I'm saying, pray and then get up and be ready to fight the good fight. Amen.
Amen.
He said, not only should you trust that God is able, he said, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible.
Yeah.
He said, remember that God is on our side. Do not forget this one thing as you face opposition when you go to building that wall. That God is on our side. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
Right? There's no force on heaven or earth that can stand against the Lord Almighty. And whenever we go to building this wall, he is on our side. Amen. And he says, stand up and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, and your wives, your houses. Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
You remember when David said that?
Yeah.
He said, is there not a cause to fight this giant? Is there not a cause? You said, well, preacher, I don't know somebody come to church. Yeah, you do sometimes. You read your Bible sometimes. You pray sometimes. Guess what? Your kids see that. Your neighbors see that. Your life will not have the same impact that some Christian's life had on you. You say, well, now you're just being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm giving you the truth that there's walls that need to be built up.
Yeah.
There's gates that need to be stood up. Amen. We need to quit letting the city, the temple, run ravaged. There needs to be some fortification that's brought up from the dust, some stones that are resurrected and stacked back up. The foundation remains. The foundation's always there. The foundation's never going away. Hey, I want to tell you about a Christian friend, a brother, sister, it's up to you to maintain that wall and to keep those gates in working order. Hey, I want to say this, that Satan would love nothing more than to just have that swept down to nothing but the foundation where he could run and trample all over it. And that's what he's doing. Whenever you're allowing him to run in your life and you're living for the world, he's running and trampling all over you and all over Jesus Christ. But I want to say this, you can build up some walls. You'll face opposition when you begin to do too much. But remember this, that the Lord is with you, the Lord, the great creator, the terrible, who Satan and every demon there is fears above anything else. He is on your side.
Amen.
So be willing to fight. Don't just say the Lord's on my side, so I'll do nothing. Matter of fact, let's look at what they've done. Verse 15 says this, and it came to pass when our enemies had heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the law, everyone to his work. And it came to pass from that time forth, listen to this, that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the halberds. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they which bare burdens, with those that laid it, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so he built.
Yes.
And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. He said that as they worked, he said we had some there that was just to work, and we had some there that was just to fight. He said that even the ones that was a working, as that was working, they had a weapon in the other hand ready to fight. He said that even the ones that was upon the wall that needed both hands free, they still, they had their sword in their sheath beside them, and they were ready to fight. Yeah. He said that they were going wherever they were going, they were armed, and they were ready to fight. Hey, I want to say this, wherever you go and whatever you do, you better be ready, willing, and ready to fight for the cause of Christ. There is a cause. He said to fight for your wives, for your sons, for your daughters, for your neighbors, for your houses. I want to say this, I will stand and fight for my family. I'll stand and fight for my church. I'll stand and fight for this establishment, Shady Grove Baptist Church, the house of God. I want to say this, that's easy to say in this day and time, but the time's coming in this nation where we might really see some great opposition like they did in that day, where there'll be people that'll try to rise against the house of God and rise against God's people. I want to say, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Hey, God is great and He is on our side and we can trust Him.
Amen.
Be willing to fight.
Amen.
Be willing to fight. As you're building these walls, there'll be opposition. We're a week into this, preached on this last Sunday, preached on this Wednesday night. I can't help but feel me, you like me. You've probably already faced opposition on some level. It might not have been from a person, but just from your own flesh. It opposes this idea. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It does not like that. When you go to starting to stand up and fortify that which is holy,
amen.
The flesh does not like that one either. He says here in verse number 19, he said, "I said to the nobles, to the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We are separate upon all one from another. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither to us, our God shall fight for us." So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, "Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night there may be a guard with us, and labor on the day, so neither I nor my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing." He said, we watched day and night.
Yeah.
Guess what? You got to be vigilant. You got to be on guard. You got to be armed. Not just when you leave here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all the way through the night, day and night, every single day. This battle rages on. It never goes away. Guess what? You say, well, this battle's hard. But you know why? It's because God is training you to fight a harder battle later on. The battles ain't going to get no easier. Don't let that discourage you, because I promise you this, as the battles grow more difficult, so does your armor, so does your bravery, so does your courage, so does your fighting ability. I will say this, just keep on in there and stay in the fight. Lean on the Lord. Keep doing the good work. Keep building the wall. Keep maintaining the wall. Stand up the gates. Do it for the glory of God, and don't let nothing stop you.
Amen.
Satan wouldn't stop it. I'd like to get into chapter 5. I want you to go home and read that. You'll find there that as they near completion, they still face opposition. It said that all that they lacked was hanging the doors on the So they had the wall up, but they still liked hanging the doors. They faced opposition once again. They were mocked, they were scoffed. This time, they were provoked. They were tempted. They wrote to Nehemiah on several occasions, said, come out and take counsel with us. They told lies, made up things, tried to get Nehemiah to throw away from the work. I just want to read one verse to you from chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say chapter 6. I was like, wait a second. All right. So, in chapter 6, they, like I said, they're trying to lure Nehemiah out to come out and to meet with them. And I like what he says to them in verse 3. He said, I sent messages unto them saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?
Yep.
First of all, no matter how close you are to complete, you might be 95 years old, nearing death's door. You think the construction's almost over. Satan's still there, trying to keep his foot in the door.
Yeah.
And where your wall is more fortified than others, you don't have to be 90 to have a good fortified wall. They may even be a teenager and have a good fortified wall.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, it's probably a lot of these kids got better walls than we do for you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's why we're talking about rebuilding walls, because they come back.
Yeah.
But you can have a good fortified wall at any stage in life. If Satan can't just directly come in there, he'll try to lure you out.
Yeah.
Nehemiah said, why should I leave such great a work?
Yeah.
I'll never talk to you. Now, Sam Ballot, you got to realize he's thinking, now, wait a minute. You are the king's cupbearer. You ain't nothing but a servant. And here I am. I'm a leader in this place.
Yeah.
You need to come down here and talk to me. He said, I'm doing a great work. Why do I need to come talk to you?
Amen.
Hey, I don't care what position anybody holds or who they think they are, how much they think you want to look up to them. I want to say this, when you're doing a great work for God, don't you let nobody diminish who you are, what you're doing.
Amen.
And God's got a purpose for you. He's doing something in your life. It's special to Him for you to do that. And I want to say this, no, don't let nobody lure you away from it.
Amen.
Don't let no thing lure you away from it. Do that. It's a great work.
Amen.
There's more I want to get to, but my time's ran out. I know we ain't got time for it. Lord, I'll put you to sleep. Right. My dad fell asleep. He says, people's minds won't take in the Lord of the Holy. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask you this morning, is your body a temple for the Holy Ghost? Has God done a work in your life that cannot be undone? If you are lost this morning and you need to be saved, I would invite you to come today and receive the free gift of salvation. Become a citizen of heaven forevermore. If you are saved this morning and you have begun to realize that there's some walls that need repaired, and then you have also realized that you need to carefully examine these and begin the construction, and if you realize that it is easy to get discouraged along this journey, and it is easy to trip and to stumble and to have difficulty in building, would you be reminded this morning that God is building? God is able. No matter what opposition that you face, you can still stand with God. He will bless it in the long run, give it patience, and you'll see the outcome. Not only this, but as you face opposition, realize that you can pray to God that He is so much on your side
He is willing to even act vengefully upon those who would oppose you, because he wants to do a good work in your life. No matter what stage of the wall that you're on, opposition never stops. It may even be your own flesh that tries to lure you out. Don't stop the good work that God's done for you. Don't let anyone diminish in your sight. There's nothing greater that you can do on this earth besides live a life that glorifies God. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning for any reason, you need to come to this altar. Why don't you come? All right. I appreciate you just putting up with it one more time. I struggle, y'all can't tell, I always struggle whenever my wife's not here. So if y'all said a prayer for me after I said that, and was thinking about that, and I appreciate it. I got through it on this. That's all I can do, I can't tell my wife's not here. That's why I said, if the Lord ever answered one prayer I've ever asked selfishly, truly selfishly, I've always asked God that whenever it comes time for me to leave this earth, let me die before my wife, because I don't want to hear about it. I said, I think she's tough, or she can deal with it. But I don't want to be here without her life.
Amen.
But in any case, I appreciate all y'all. Y'all are a good church man. And if I'm ever going to go anywhere and preach without my wife, I'm going to be here at me.
Yeah.
Anywhere else.
Yeah.
All right. Remember tonight, 5 o'clock for the foundation study. Y'all be praying for Brother Matthew. He leads that. You don't have to get answers. Prepare them this afternoon when you come back. If you're singing in the choir, then be here at 4:30 for practice. And if you're not singing in the choir, be here at 4:30 for practice so you can start singing in the choir. Karen would like to meet with you after service. Remember that. All right, it's all hearts and minds clear. Amen. Brother Glenn, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Good Lord, we thank you for the heavenly call, Lord. We thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, for the faith. We thank you, Lord, for the good word of God, Lord, for giving us today. Pray that the Lord protect us and use the Lord and be mindful, Lord, of what we said and preach to us, Lord, here today. If there be any loss, Lord, we pray that the Lord to bring them into the fold for their life and fear. And Lord, we pray now for service, Lord, this afternoon. Wednesday, Lord, for the travel, Lord, this week. Bible coming up for next week.